Today's year in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Sota Daf Mem Hey. We're learning Lili Nishmas Moshe Shor Yechil Moshe Ben Pinchas Zev. All the Nishamas we've learned for should have an Aliyah from our learning. Okay, we pick up the Gemara on the second line from the top, Mem Hey Omer Aleph. Yesterday we had a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda, who says that you need five judges from the Sanhedrin HaGadol to participate in the measuring out process of the Egla Arufa, and we had the opinion of Rabbi Shimon that said you only need three judges. And this was based upon how they darshan the psukim, zikeinecha v'shoftecha. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, zikeinecha was two, shoftecha was two, and therefore you needed to add on an additional judge, and that made five. And according to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, no, you didn't judge both of them. You just had the word zikeinecha to teach us two, and you added on one, so you shouldn't have a based in shokel, and that why it was three judges according to Rabbi Shimon. Now, the Gemara asked today, but keep on reading the psukim, elamei ata. It tells us v'yatzu umadadu. You have the pasuk v'yatzu zikinecha v'shovtecha umadadu el ha'arim asher sivo se'achalal. So while some of the commentators have a little bit of a difficulty over here because you need these to tell us the basic dinim, the bottom line is they say that these are all somewhat extra, and therefore the words v'yatzu umadadu should teach us, according to Rabbi Shimon, that you should add on four more to make seven. According to Yehuda, you should add on four more to make nine. So that's what the Gemara now says. V'yatzu shnayim, madu shnayim. So Rabbi Yehuda, harei kan tisha, should be a total of five plus four, which is nine. And Rabbi Shimon, harei kan shiva, you should have a total of four plus three, which is seven. So therefore, how come they don't darshan these just like they judge zikeinecha and shovtecha, according to Rabbi Yehuda, and according to Rabbi Shimon, judge zikeinecha, but you should add on the additional judges for yatsu umadadu. So Gemara says, no, you need these words, yatsu umadadu, teaches the following dinim. How mi boy lechidatan, you need them for what was taught in the following brisa. Yatsu, the yatsu, the word, the yatsu, comes to teach us, hein velo shluchein, that the members of the Sanhedrin themselves and not a shaliach of them has to go and do the actual measurement. In other words, they can't be there and have a shliach do it. They have to actually do it themselves. The yotzu, they themselves must go out and do the measuring. Umadadu, sha'afilu nimtzo ba'alil la'ir. Even if you find the victim, Nebuch, is clearly, obviously, closer to city A than city B, nevertheless, you still must measure it. Hoyu modadin. There's a din of medida over here that must be done. It's not just to clarify which is the closest city. You don't only do the medida only if there is a shikol adas. You're not sure which one is closer. Oh, we have to measure it out. But if city A is obviously so much closer to city B, you don't have to measure it out. No, the din is you have to do medida. Shemitzvah lasok b'medida. You have to actually do the medida. Okay, now the Gemara wants to tell us this machlokes over here that we have between Rabbi Shimon and Yehuda, Mastis and the local Rielezer ben Yaakov. It doesn't go in accord with the opinion of Rielezer ben Yaakov because they said that just the members, either three or five members of the Sanhedrin HaGadol, will have to go out. But Rielezer ben Yaakov, as we learn in the following price of the Tanya, Rielezer ben Yaakov Omer Zekenecha, that's a reference to Sanhedrin. Now we'll see in a moment, does he mean all of the Sanhedrin or does he only mean three or five like Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda respectively? So he says Zekenecha, Zu Sanhedrin, they have to go out, and he says shovtecha ze melech v'kohen gadol. He adds on that in addition to the members of the Sanhedrin, you need to have the melech and the kohen gadol also involved in the eglo arufa process. Where does he learn this from? Based upon psukim, melech. Where does he see that you need to have the king there? Dersiv. We refer to the melech as melech b'mishpat yamid oretz. A pasuk for mishlei. So we see that the melech is referred to as b'mishpat, and therefore in this judgment over here, so it has to include shovtecha, has to include the melech, and it also has to include the kohen gadol the siv uvas al kohanim alvim v'yal shavein asher yeh bayimim lahem. That's the gomer. So the kohen gadol is the shofet for the kohanim and the levim. So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov darshins that in addition to the Sanhedrin, the zekeinecha, you also need the shovtecha, which is the melech and the kohen gadol. So clearly, he disagrees with both Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah. Now, the more questions, how much does he disagree with them? Ibailu, does he only disagree with them? Or Lesben Yaakov, Bimelech, Bukohen, Gadol, Huda, Polik? However, Avo Basan Hedre, Iker Rabbi Yehuda, Iker Rabbi Shimon, Surelay. Does he only disagree in that Rabbi Lesben Yaakov also requires the Melech and the Kohen Gadol there, but in respect to how much of the Sanhedrin, he agrees with either the opinion of Rabbi Shimon 3 or the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda 5? Or do we say no, or Dilma? In fact, he disagrees with them on the members of the Sanhedrin as well. Rabbi Shimon says 3, Rabbi Yehuda says 5, and The opinion of Rebbe Elazar Yaakov is that all 71 have to go out. Odilma b'Sanhedrin nami polig ad the ikar kula Sanhedrin. The Rebbe Elazar Yaakov holds that you need to have the entire Sanhedrin there in order to fulfill this requirement of zekeinecha and shovtecha. So we're going to spend a little time now to bring a raya, and ultimately we will conclude that in fact Rebbe Elazar Yaakov disagrees not only in the melech and the kohen gadol, but also he requires the entire Sanhedrin to come out for the egel arufa process, and it's based upon the following brayso. Amar Rav Yosef Toshma, we learn the following brayso. Son zokin mamre abe pagi vihimra alehem. So then yochol teamra hamra tamud lomer vekamta v'yolisa alamakom malami shamakom gorim. Now I read a lot over there. Now let's understand this. So we had the din of zokin mamre. Zokin mamre is when you have a tamud chacham, but he disagrees with the Sanhedrin Agadol. So there are a lot of machlokas, but once the Sanhedrin Agadol has a psak halacha, so then this zokin is not allowed to go and disagree with them. So this is not a psak of the Sanhedrin Agadol. So as Rashi says, if the zokin mamre goes and disagrees with Sanhedrin Agadol, the 71 judges, so then he is technically chayav misa under certain situations. Now I'm not going into all the dinim of zokin mamre here. It only applies in certain situations under certain circumstances, but there is a din of a zokin mamre. So that din, as the psukim tell us, is only when he disagrees with them in the lishkas hagozis. When they make a psak in the lishkas hagozis and he disagrees with them, that's considered a zokin mamre situation. But if the matzon zokin mamre abe pagi, if the zokin mamre goes and meets up with the Sanhedrin in Abe Pagi. Be Pagi is Beth Page, Be Pagi. And that is the area inside the outer walls of Yerushalayim, as Rashi tells us. Koshu b'soch hekef hachitzon shel Yerushalayim. Anything within the perimeter of the outermost walls of Yerushalayim, kori Be Pagi. That's Beth Page. That's Be Pagi. And if this Zokin Marmi, this Talmud Chacham, disagrees with the Sanhedrin in Be Pagi, so then it might sound like that should be a hamra, that should be a zokin mamre din, yochotei hamra, so hamra, the himra lein, but yochotei hamra, so hamra. So the pasuk says, no, it only is in the lishkas agozes, talmud lomar, the kamta elisa el hamakom, the din of zokin mamre only applies el hamakom, which is the lishkas agozes, but lami shamakom gorim, that the location of where this machlokis occurs is critical, and it's only if it's in lishkas agozes does the din of zokin mamre apply. So, but now, what does this have to do with our discussion? So now the question is, how did the Zokin Mamre meet up with the Sanhedrin in Beit Pagi, and how much of the Sanhedrin did he meet up with over there? Now, the Nofuk Kama, how much of the Sanhedrin was actually in Beit Pagi that we have this question that, oh, you might have thought it should be a din of Zokin Mamre? It's not, because it's not in the Lishkas Hagozes. So if you're going to tell me, Lehmo, the Nofuk Mitzosim, that only some of the Sanhedrin was there, so then you need a pasuk to tell me, Elam Akom, the din of Zokin Mamre doesn't apply unless the entire Sanhedrin is there. Because Dilma, Hanach Deiko Gavai, Kavasei Svirulhu. Because maybe those people that are still back in the Lishkas Hagozes, those members of the Sanhedrin, would have agreed with the Zokin Mamre. And even if they're a minority, maybe that group would have been able to convince the majority, and there wouldn't be a din of Zokin Mamre. So obviously it can't be that part of the Sanhedrin was in Beit Pagi. Ella, what must it be? Ella Pshita, the Nofukulu. He met up with the entire Sanhedrin in Beit Pagi. Now, what in the world was the entire Sanhedrin doing outside the Lishkas Hagozes? Because after all, they're not allowed to leave the Lishkas Hagozes except for specific situations. Ulamai, why were all of the Sanhedrin in Beit Pagi? If you're telling me that they left, you know, an optional party, they went to a bar mitzvah over there, they went to a party over there. No, that can't be. They're not allowed to all leave. Only some of them can leave, but there has to be a critical mass of at least 23 always left present. How do we know this? Because we have a pasuk. The pasuk that's brought down from Shir HaShirim tells us, Foksiv, Shorech Agan Hasar, it means that your navel, Shorech is a reference to your navel. As Rashi points out, Zah Sanhedrin Shioshevis Bitibura Shal Eretz Yisrael. This is the Sanhedrin that sits in the navel, in the middle of Eretz Yisrael. Agan Hasar, that refers to they're seated in a semicircular shape, like the crescent of the moon. So they're like a basin of in the shape of a moon. Ayachsar Hamozik, don't go and dilute it too much. When you have wine, their wines in those days were concentrated, and they would have to dilute them. They would dilute them either in a 1-to-2 ratio or 1-to-3 ratio of 2 parts or 3 parts water to 1 part of the wine. So don't dilute it too much. So we dash from this pasuk in Shir HaShirim that this is a reference to the Sanhedrin. Shim nitzrach echem him lotzeis, if one of the members of the Sanhedrin has to leave the Lishkas Hagozes, so as long as there are 23 judges remaining behind, im yeshon esim ushlosha kineged sanhedrin kitana, if there's at least 23 judges still left behind, so then yotzi, then any of them are allowed to leave as long as there's 23 left behind. However, v'im lav, but there's only 23 there, so then none of those 23 can leave. Ein yotzi, they're not allowed to leave. So obviously, you can't be talking about that the entire Sanhedrin left for a Dvar HaRishus. So when we're dealing over here with the Braisa of the Zokhi Mamre meeting up with the entire Sanhedrin in Beipagi, Elipshita L'Dvar Mitzvah, they must have left for a permissible reason, a Dvar Mitzvah. And what could that Dvar Mitzvah be? L'mai, let's bring a Raya. The Rezim Yaakov holds that the Sanhedrin, entire Sanhedrin, has to be involved in a Egla Rufa. So Lamai wasn't to be Lav Lemedidas Egla Rufa, and therefore, Reb Lezer ben Yaakov, and this goes in accord with the opinion that we're now establishing as Reb Lezer ben Yaakov, that he holds the entire Sanhedrin, in addition to the Melech and the Kohen Gadol, has to go and be participating in the Egla Rufa process. So that's what Rav Yosef wants to bring a raya, but Abaya tells him, no, that's not a raya. I'm like Abaya. Abaya tells his Rebbe Rav Yosef, lo, that's not correct. Dilma lahosif aloir v'alho azoros. Maybe the reason why the Sanhedrin left the Lishkas HaGazes was because they were adding on to the city of Yerushalayim that has halacha l'maisa ramifications that it must be done with the entire Sanhedrin, or they were adding on somehow to the azoros, v'alho azoros. Now, if they win the Lishkas HaGazes, they could also add on to Azoros. So some say that this is just thrown in because it was part of the din that he's bringing down over here, that the Sanhedrin HaGadol has to go and be the ones to be Mosif Aloir of Alar Azoros. But that wouldn't be why they went to Beipagi, because they could have done the Azoros in the Lishkas HaGazes. So it must have been that they were going to extend the city limits of Yerushalayim, which has Nafgamina for eating Kachim Kalim and Maisa Sheni, etc. So therefore, you need the entire Sanhedrin to go out there. And therefore, it wasn't because of Egla Rufa, it was because they would be Mosif Aloir. And this is a Mishnah. Kedetnan, as the Mishnah tells us, Ein Mosif Raliyah Real Azoros, Elo Beveiz Din Shoshivim the Echad. This is a Mishnah in Shavuos and in Sanhedrin, which tells us that you need 71 judges to go and extend the city. So that's why they were in Beipagi, nothing to do with Egla Rufa. However, we have a Braisa that still supports Rav Yosef, even though Abaye said maybe not, but that didn't conclusively prove Rav Yosef wrong. And in fact, we have a Braisa that actually supports Rav Yosef's position. Tanya Kavasi Rav Yosef, because here the Braisa says Bidavka, that the case was in Beipagi was because of Egla Rufa. Mitzona Beipagi, this Braisa brings down, if the Zokhi Mamre met up with the Sanhedrin, the entire Sanhedrin in Beipagi, the Himra Aleim, and he disagreed with them. And the Braisa continues, what was the Sanhedrin HaGadol doing in Beipagi? Kigon, Shiyotsu Limdidas Egla. One of the reasons might be because they were doing the measuring process of the Egla Rufa. Or alternatively, the host of Aliyah Velazars. Or it could have been they had another valid reason to go. There were mitzvahs they were allowed to leave for, such as being Mosif on the city of Yerushalayim, or for Egla Rufa. And therefore, you might have thought, Yochel Te Amra So Amra, the Braisa goes now and tells us, you might have thought this is a classical case of Zokhi Mamre, Tamil Loma. No, it's not. It has to be Bekanta Elisa El Makom. It has to be Bedavka Malami Shamakum Gorib. It has to be Bedavka in the Lishkas HaGazes. But you clearly see from this Braisa that Rabbi Yosef's opinion is that the entire Sanhedrin had to go out, and one of the reasons they would go out was for Egla Rufa. So he says that not only do you need the Melech and the Kohen, but you need the entire Sanhedrin. We continue by quoting the Mishnah. Nimtza tomun begal otoli be'ilon. We said that if you find the dead body, Nebuch, underneath a pile of stones, or if it's hanging in the trees, so then our Mishnah said that this is not included in the din of Egla Rufa. Now, Lema Masnisin, Rabbi Yehudi, Velo Rabbanon. Let us say that our Mishnah is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda and not that of the Chachamim, not of the Rabbanon. Why? Because the Tanya, we learn the following Braisa. Now, this Braisa deals with the law of Shichacha. Shichacha is when a person is harvesting his field and he forgets certain grains or certain of the produce that he harvested in the field, so he has to leave it for the Aniyim. This is the din of Shichacha. There are a lot of details to it, which we're not going to go into right now, but one of them is, based upon the pasuk, ki siktsor kitzircha v'sodecha v'shochachta omer basodeh. Lo sashuv lekachto. You're not allowed to go and take it if you forgot it there. So the Braisa says the Tanya, v'shochachta omer basodeh. This pasuk that says if you left some of the omer, some of the sheaves, some of the grain in the field, it must be basodeh. The opinion of the Tanakama, which is Rabbi Yehuda, is that it must be basodeh, which Rashi explains, according to Rabbi Yehuda, mashma basodeh means al pinei hasodeh, on top of the earth. prat l'tomen, excluding something, covering it up. And therefore, the author of our Mishnah must be Rabbi Yehuda, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that it can't be covered up with something. As we had said in the Mishnah, if it was tomun begal, it is not considered open, and therefore it's covered up, and it's not considered that it is a din of egla rufa. And this is consistent with the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda in regards to Shechecha, who says that it can't be covered up. Prat l'tomun, basa, that means it has to be on the field and not covered up in the field. So that's the opinion of Yehuda. Whereas the Chachamim Omrim, Ba Sodeh, teaches us that it means Besoch HaSodeh, Rashi says. L'rabos is a Talmud to include, even if it's covered up, it is considered in the field. And therefore, this Machlokis by Shechacha, let us say that it applies over here in our Mishnah, where it says, also, the Lashon, Ki Yomotze Cholol Bo Adamah, so it has to be, according to Rabbi Yehuda, on the field without being covered up, whereas the opinion of the Chachamim by Shechacha is that it could be covered up. So Mestama, they're not the author of our Mishnah, because they would hold that Tumun would apply to the din of Egla Rufa. But that is not the answer. Amar Rav, Rav says, no, our Mishnah is not necessarily only consistent with Yehuda. Of course it's consistent with Yehuda, but it can even be consistent with the opinion of the Chachamim in the Braisa of Shechacha. Why? Afilu Tamer Rabbanan, because you look at each one in its context. The word Bo Adama and the word Besodecha have to be understood in context. There isn't always Bo, doesn't always mean on Al Pnei HaSodeh. It doesn't always mean Besoch HaSodeh, in the field, even covered up. And Hocha Bin Yoni Dekra, Hos Bin Yoni Dekra. You have to look at each one in context. The Bach adds Hocha Bin Yoni Dekra in regards to over here where it's talking about Egla Rufa, when it says Kimotzi Cholol Bo Adama. So what does the pasuk say? It starts off, it just says, Ki Yimotze Cholol, period, which implies, Hechod Mishtakach, anywhere, whether it's covered up or not. And then the words, Bo Adama, Prat L'Tomun, the Chacham would say that the baseline position is, in fact, that it should be including something covered up, but then Bo Adama over here comes to exclude Prat L'Tomun. So, in fact, the Chachamim could be the authors of the Mishnah. In regards to Shechacha, they held the exact opposite because you look at it in the context. For Hasan, in regards to Shechacha, Menyani de Kroksiv, you have to go based upon the Inyanim of the Kra as well. As the Pasuk says, Ki Siktsar Kitzircha Bisodecha Bishachachta Omer. Over there, there's a hekish in the Pasuk between the Kitzircha and the Shechacha. Shechacha Dumya de Kotzir. The din of Shechacha is similar to the din of Kotzir, just like Ma Kotzir Begoli. There is nothing covering up when you harvest, so avshilcha begoli. It must be that it is open. And then now, when you have the word basodeh, kosav rachmona basodeh, that comes to now add on. It's not a miyut, it's lirabos esatomun. So therefore, in regards to shilcha, the chachamim say that there is a din of shilcha even if it's tomun. Yeah, they argue with the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. But in our Mishnah, Lav Davka is it only reviewed. Rav says it could even be the opinion of the Chachamim because you look at each one in its context. No, the bottom line is, Rav Yehuda also, he should hold this drasha. So why does he need the word Besodecha to exclude Tomun? It should be the review the Nami, Tebuk Le Mishicha, Dumi the Kotzer. Why doesn't he use the Hekish? And he doesn't need to use the word Basodeh to come to include Tomun. He should just say it excludes Tomun. So why doesn't he use that drasha? So he says, Enochanami, you're right. In fact, Rav Yehuda learns out that when you have the hekish between Kitzircha and Vishachachta, that's where you know that it can't be Tomun. Then what does he use the word Basodeh for? The Ela Basodeh Lomali. That comes to teach us, Miboy Lili Rabos Shichachas Koma. Until now, we've been talking about you harvested it. Ki Siksar Kitzircha Bisodecha. And now it teaches us the din that if you harvested it, then you can't go and go back for it. If you forgot it, it has to go to the Aniyim. But how do we know that if you forgot to harvest an area, shichas koma, you didn't harvest the area. Not that you harvested and you forgot the sheaves, but you didn't even harvest it. How do we know that that's also included in the din of shichacha? So the din is, basodeh comes to teach us that. No, that's a very good drasha. How did the Rabbanan learn that? The Rabbanan, shichas koma minolahu, they don't have the word basodeh free. They use that l'rabos as a tomun. So how did they learn out shichas koma? So the Rabbanan learned it out. Nafgaluhu, mi kisiktsar kitzircha bisodecha, and the Bach adds the critical word, which Rashi points out as well, vishachachta. According to the Chachamim, they combine bisodecha, vishachachta together to teach us this din. as Rashi says, Dibra Masku Nafkalu, which is found on the third line on the Tosus side of the page. There's no Tosus in over here. So Nafkalu, Rashi says, Mibisodecha v'shachachta. Those two words are combined. So Kori be'shachas es kitzasodeyu. So that's how the Chacham learned it out. No, why does Rabbi Yehuda learn that out? That sounds like a good reasoning. Rabbi Yehuda, he says, no, I need that combination. Bisodecha v'shachachta. Rabbi Yehuda m'baylech the Rabbi Avo, Amar Rabbi Elazar. He needs it for the din that Rabbi Avo said the name of Rabbi Elazar. What was that? The Amar Rabbi Avo, Amar Rabbi Elazar. Pirat l'shit sofu omrin l'soch sedei chaveru. This is when the wind blew. That's sofu. The wind blew some of your sheaves over into the field of your friend. Now, you might have thought that the din of shechachah should still apply there, so therefore, it has to be b'sodecha v'shochachta and not in your friend's field. So that's what Rabbi Yehuda uses this pasuk for, b'sodecha v'shochachta. No, how do the Rabbanon learn out that the din of shechachah doesn't apply in your friend's field? The Rabbanon, b'sodeh, they learn it out from the fact that it didn't say the word b'sodeh over here, it said b'sodecha v'shochachta, teaches us your field and not your friend's field. No, why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda do that? So the Gemara answers, Rabbi Yehuda, basadeh bisadecha. The fact that he used bisadecha instead of basadeh, lo mashleh. He doesn't feel that that would have been an adequate drasha, and therefore he doesn't learn it out from there, he learns it out from the other combination, and that's how we reconcile Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham, each learning out their drashas from the way that they learned it, and the bottom line is, therefore, that our Mishnah could go according to the Chachamim as well as Rabbi Yehuda, as Rav has stated. Now the Gemara says, "By Rabbi Yirmiyah is the following shayla: what about if the wind blew these omrin, tsofu omrin? The wind blew these sheaves letos sodehu into your field, but it didn't land on the ground. The concept of tsofu implies, Rashi says, that it flew onto something, but it's still, so to say, like flying, floating, and hasn't landed on the ground. So in your field, does this count as shechach or not? Mahu? Do we say avir sodeh kisodedomi? No, no reason it shouldn't be." It's no different. Just because it's on something and it's not on the ground itself, that doesn't mean anything, and the din of shechach applies. Or do we say no? Olav kisod adomi. Or do we say no? It has to be basode, and this is not called basode if it's on something else. That's Rav Yirmiyah's question. Amalei Rav Kahana, Rav Papi, Yarmalei Rav Kahana, Rav Zvid. Either Rav Kahana said this answer to Rav Papi, or he said it to Rav Zvid. Tivshot Lei, he said, you can solve this question of Rav Yirmiyah, midi Rabbi Avo, Amar Rabbi Elazar, from that which Rabbi Avo said in the name of Rabbi Elazar. Domar, he said, Prat Shelitsofu Omrin Litos de Chaveru. He learned out that in that situation there's no shechachah when the wind blew it into your friend's field. Now, it said the chaveru in Litos Sodeu Lo. It implied that it's not shechachah in your friend's field if it's floated over there. Implication being that in your field it would be shechachah. So therefore, even though it's not on the ground, that's the din that the din of Shechach applies, even though it's not on the ground. So that's what Rav Kahana wanted to say from this din of Rabbi Avo. I'm Rav Elazar, we can answer Rabbi Yirmiyah's question. The Gemara says, wait a second, not so fast. Ol Taimech, according to you, read the drasha very carefully. L'tos dechaveiro, when it goes into your friend's field, you're saying it's only tzafu in, only if it floated over there, is there not a din of shechacha? Implication being that if it landed in the field, munachin, lo, then the din of shechacha would apply. But wait a second. But we said that you need to have it in your field, the leka, in your friend's field. It's not true. So therefore, you're darshining tzafu as implying over there, bedafka, talking about floating, bedafka not being on the ground itself, but on top of something else, can't be correct. Ella, when it said, when it said that the sheaves blew from your field into your friend's field, it's not only talking about tzafu, that it's on something else, v'afilu munochem. The din is that there's no din of shechacha, even if it's on the ground itself. I, behind the karmat tzafu, why did it say tzafu? It floated over there, it blew over there. Because, how else did it get there? T'lo mishkachas lo, elabit tzafu. How else would it go from your field to your friend's field, unless it was blown over there? So therefore, it's lav dafka, and you can't bring any raya from the shita of Rabbi Avo, Amar Rabbi Elazar, to the question of Rabbi Yirmiyah. Try again to solve Rabbi Yirmiyah's question. Again, Rabbi Yirmiyah is asking, if it's not on the ground in your field, is there a din of shechacha? So, Toshma, let's bring a raya from the following brisa, which is a tosefta in Peya. And this brisa says as follows, Toshma, Omer, if you have sheaves, and the owner of those sheaves took them, shehechzik bo, and he was intending to bring it, lalicholir, to bring it to his house in the city from the field. And he puts it down momentarily al gabe chadero on some other sheaves that he has over there, and then he gets distracted, ushechacho, and he forgets about it. So he forgets about both the one that was there originally and the sheaves that he put on top of it. So what's the din? So the Braisa says the Tanakhama holds hatachton shechicha, the bottom one, that is a din of shechicha. However, the elyon eino shechicha, implying that if it's floating on something else, if it's on top of something else, by definition, it's not shechicha. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama. Hatachton shechicha, but elyon eino shechicha. Why is it tachton shechicha? Because it was forgotten there, and even though it's covered up, the din of shechicha still applies. The elyon, that's not called shechicha because it was on top of something else, which by definition means it's not shechicha. That's the Tanakhama's opinion in the Braisa. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Omer, in the name of Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, again, appropriate to mention Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai around like by Omer, Shneihem einan shechicha. He holds that neither the bottom or the top is shechicha. Hatachton mipnei shu tomen, because the bottom one is not shechicha because it is covered up. And shechicha can only be something that's not covered up. And the elyon, the top one, mipnei shu tzop, because it's on top of something else, and therefore it's not shechicha. Now, let us say, ad kan lo pligi el betachton. The only machlokas we have between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon Yehuda in the name of Rabbi Shimon is in regards to the tachton. Because in that situation, the Tanakhama holds that the tachton is shechicha, and Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, says, hatachton is not shechicha. Fine. Abu B'Elyon, in regards to the top one, Divri Akol, lo v'shechicha, everybody agrees it's not shechicha because it's floating on something, so therefore that's the answer to Rabbi Yirmiyah's question. Shmuel says, no, not necessarily so. Not a good proof. Shiny chasid, it's different than that price, because the person took it. It says, Omer shehechzik bo lo licho le'ir. So kivan, the achzik bay, since you picked it up, you acquired it, zocha bay, and therefore, even if you subsequently forgot about it, you've already acquired it, and the din of shechicha is only on things that you haven't yet acquired. Morris says, wait a second, ihachi my irya agabi chavero. Then why does the Braisa make it a point to say, v'inicho agabi chavero ushchacho? The din for the top one is that you now own it. So what difference does it make whether you put it down on top of chavero or you put it down on the ground? There is no din of shechicha, the way you just understood it. Afilu besadit nami. So I don't understand. So the Morris says, yeah, enochanami, you're 100% right. It doesn't teach us anything about the top one. The whole machlokis in this Braisa, b'hai diktoni agabi chavero, is Mishum Tachton. It's the teachers that did the bottom one. Oh, Rabbi Shimon Yehuda says the name Rabbi Shimon Yochai, and because it's covered up, there is no din of Shechicha. And the Tanakhama says that there is a din of Shechicha. So that's only brought for the Tachton, nothing to do with the Elyon. The Elyon is definitely not Shechicha because you were Zoch in it. Gemara says, but it didn't say that. It didn't say because you were Zoch in it. It said, V'ha mitnei shu tzof kamar. It says because it's floating. That implies that it's not because you were zoch in it. So Gemara says, no. When it did said mipnei shu tzof, it meant ema mipnei shu kit tzof. It's like it was floating, that there is no shechicha because you are holding on to it and it's not forgotten. As Rashi says, mipnei shu kit tzof shu potter al shehechzik bo. It's potter from shechicha because you've acquired it. Ki'ilu hu haya odenu tzaf ne'ala karka umunach b'yodos. As if it's floating in your hand above the ground. So that's why it says tzof, because it's like it's tzof, but it doesn't teach us anything about the din of tzof, and we can't answer Rabbi Yirmiyah's question from this braisa as well. Mark continues and tells us, Amar Abaye. Abaye tells us, Harei kiben asei b'shuk yitraya. This is a famous expression we have in a number of places in Shas, that Abaye says, I am as knowledgeable, I'm in a good mood today, I'm in a very good place today to answer questions, just like Ben Asei was able to answer any questions that was posed to him in the Shuk Yitzvariya. As Rashi says, Yom Echad Hayadaito Tzlula, he felt very clear-minded that day. And he says, today, Amar Areini Kam B'Pumbadisa, I here in Pumbadisa am ready and willing, Muchan Lahashiv Dover L'Shoel, Ba'omek U'B'Charifus Kibin Asai. Today, I'm in a very good mood. I'm in a very good position to try to answer anybody's questions that they ask me. Just like Ben-Azi was able to do that, I feel that way today. So that's what Abaye said, and he was asked the following shiloh. So one of the Tamidim asked Abaye the following shiloh. Shnei chalolim, Nebuch, you have two dead bodies, zel gav zeh, one on top of the other. Mehechon hu modid, which one and from where do you actually go and measure out for the din of Egla Rufa? The din of Egla Rufa would apply to one or to both or to neither. So that's the question that we raise. There are four possibilities as the Gemara will go through. Do we say that the top one and the bottom one are both humans? They're both the same min. So min bimino, and nevertheless have a tumen. even though it's the same thing, the top one covers up the bottom one. The bottom one, therefore, doesn't have the din of egla rufa because it's tamun. The top one does have the din of egla rufa because umin bimino lo havitzach, because min bimino, it's not considered that it's not on the ground. The bottom corpse doesn't interpose because it's the same min, and therefore the top one is considered as if it's on the ground, and therefore you bring in egla rufa umi elyon mode. That's one, the first possibility. Or do we say no? Odioma, the second possibility is that in fact min bimino have a tzav. We do say that min bimino will go and be considered as if it's on top of something else and not on the ground, and therefore the top one will not be an egla rufa. However, umin bimino lo habi tamun, but it's not considered tamun in min bimino that the top one is covering up the bottom one, and therefore umitachton mode. And we view this as a case of only one egla rufa from the bottom. So that's the second possibility. Third possibility is that both of these apply. Odilma min bimino heavy tamun, that the top one is considered covering up the bottom one, even though it's the same min, and therefore there's no egla rufa from the bottom one. Umin bimino heavy tzav. And likewise, it's floating on something. It is considered a separation, so the top one is not considered as if it's on the ground, and therefore lo mitachto modeh, lo mi'elyon modeh. Neither of them has an egla rufa din. And the Gemara doesn't mention it, but Rashi points out, and there's also a fourth possibility over here, that for both of these dinim, it doesn't apply. So min bimino over here is not considered an interposition either way. So therefore, the top one is considered as on the ground, and the top one is not considered as being a blocking tamun to the bottom one. And therefore, both of them would have to bring a eglo arufa. As Rashi says, v'uadid d'mibay lei nami, it should have said this one as well. It didn't bother to do this because it was obvious. Elishu b'chlal elu, it was obvious. You mentioned 1, 2, 3, obviously it's 4, and the Gemara didn't feel it necessary to mention the fourth possibility. So this was the question. This echlet, how umid the Rabbanan, asked to Abaye. So Abaye answers him, Amalei, we turn to Mimhei, Amid Beis. Abaye says, Tenisua, we learned this. Now what does it mean we learned this? So Rashi tells us, the Rashis are found again here on the Tosus side as well. There are no Tosus until the end of the Masechta. And Tenisua, we learn over here, L'chod binayu. Well, at least Abaye says, be able to answer one of the questions, the Pluk Sohi B'tomun, the question about the cover it up, that we can answer. But the question about Tzof, we're not going to be able to answer from here. In any event, in Yisua, we answer for the following brisa. Omer shehech sikbo lolicholir. The brisa that we brought down previously from the Tosef Din Peya, that the sheaf that the person picked up to go into the city, and then he put it down temporarily. V'nicho gabi chavero, he put it down on another sheaf, and then he forgot both of them. Ushechacho. So now, hatachton, the Tanakhama says that tachton is shechacha. The bottom one is considered shechacha, because it was forgotten there earlier, and there is no din of tamun. V'ha elyon eino shichcha, but the top one is not considered shichcha because, as we said previously, that he was zocha ba, it was already owning it. Rabbi Shimon Yehuda omer mishum Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon Yehuda, however, said the name Rabbi Shimon Rechai. Shneim eino shichcha, both the mina shichcha hatachton mideishu tamun. The tachton because it is covering up the bottom one, so therefore hatachton mideishu tamun. The bottom one is covered up. And the Elyon, Mipnei Shu Tzof, he says, because it is floating, it is not on the ground, therefore it is considered Tzof, and therefore not Shechacha. Now, that is the Machlokes that we brought down in this Brisa. So the Talmidim wanted to say, the Hani Savrua, in the Beis Medrash, they thought, the Hani Tanoi, that this Machlokes over here between the Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, is both in accord with the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that we had mentioned previously. The Shavrua, the Hani Tanoi, both hold like Rabbi Yehuda Sirlu, which was the Omer Basade Prat L'Tomun, that our Mishnah was specifically teaching us that when it says it has to be Basade, it is opposed to Prat L'Tomun. It can't be covered up. Now, if you want to say that both the Tana Kama in the Brisa in Peya and Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda in the name of Rabbi Shimon Yochai both hold like Rabbi Yehuda, then my lab b'halkom ivli, they must be arguing about the following: the marasavar min bimino havitamon. The Rabbi Shimon Yehuda, in the name of Rabbi Shimon Yochai, holds that even though they're the same species, the top omer is a sheaf and it's on the bottom omer, which is a sheaf. Nevertheless, he holds Rabbi Shimon Yehuda in the name of Rabbi Shimon Yochai holds the savar mar min bimino havitamon. Even though it's the same min, it is considered able to cover it up, and therefore there is no din of shechcha. However, the Tanakama Umar Savar lo heavy tamun, because he holds that min bimino is considered the same thing and it's not considered covered up. And therefore, there is a din of shechacha to the bottom one. It's not considered covered up. So that's what the Talmidim wanted to suggest. This machlokes between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, in the name of Rabbi Shimon Yochai, is in fact related within the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda from our Mishnah. So Gemara says, lo, lav dafka. Ik, Rabbi Yehuda, Sri Lahu. If you want to tell me they both hold like Rabbi Yehuda, you could do that as well. Ik, Rabbi Yehuda, Sri Lahu. They could, in fact, the Kuliyama, Min Bimino, Habitamon. Both of them could, in fact, say that Min Bimino is considered covered up. And therefore, it's not totally on this opinion of Rabbi Yehuda from the Mishnah. Ella, the Hacha, Bepluksa, the Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbanon Kumiflugi. This is the Machlokas that we had previously between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. That is what the Machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon Yehuda is totally on. And that is, the Rabbanon Kirabanon, and Rabbi Shimon Yehuda Kirabihuda. That the Rabbanon in the Braitsa, the Tanakhama, they hold like the opinion of the Chachamim, which is the Tanakhama of the Braitsa that we said that even though it's covered up, it is still considered Shechacha. There isn't this din of Tomun over there. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that in fact, that if it is covered up, so then there is no din of Shechacha. So therefore, let us say that is the Machlokas, and not necessarily that everybody holds like Rabbi Yehuda. So where it says, Ihochi, my irya agabi chaveru, then why did it have to say that it was put on top, these omrim sheichzik bo, lo lichul ir, v'nicho agabi chaveru ushchacha? Why did it have to go and say ushchacha? Why did it have to say that? Afilu be'alfar ubitzror nami. If this is a machlokis on tomun or not tomun, so then what difference does it make if it's covered up with another omer, or if it's covered up with alfar or tzror, if this is the machlokis? So what says, you're 100% right, enochanami. Why did it specifically mention this? That it was put on another sheath? Lodiach ha-kocho de Rabbi Yehuda, to show us the strength of the sheath of Rabbi Yehuda, that even the Amar Afilu Min Bimino, even though it is the same min, one might have thought in that situation, it wouldn't be considered covered up. No, Hevei Tomun, it is still considered covered up. Okay, I know that was a little bit confusing. Let's go by that. Tana Rabbanon, we learn the following braisa. The pasuk tells us, Ki yimotzei cholol. So cholol specifically implies a person who was killed, as Rashi points out, lo mikri ella bekli barzel ke'en cheriv, that a person is specifically called a cholol if he was killed with some sort of a metal implement, a sword or a knife. Lo chonek, but not if he was strangled. Cholol is also teaching us, lo mifarper, that he has to actually be dead and not about to die, still struggling in the last throes of death. And when it says bo adama, it must mean velo tomun begal, it can't be covered up with any stones. And nofel, when it says in the pasuk nofel, velo tolibila, and not hanging from a tree. And when it says basada, it means velo tsofa pnei amayim, it can't be on anything but on the ground, it can't be floating in the water. That's the Tanakhama's opinion. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Rabbi Elazar says, no, when it says the word cholol, it means cholol specifically. And bekulon, in regards to all the other din, which Rashi says, afilu in the mafarfer case, the guy that's not dead, although many question that and say that that's not correct, because if he's not dead, then even Rabbi Elazar agrees that the din of Egla Rufa doesn't apply, so some delete the word mafarfer over here, but soft, the case of floating on the water, v'tom, in the case where he's covered up by rocks, v'tali, hanging in the tree, v'chulon, Rabbi Elazar says, im haya cholol orvin, if this was a person who was killed with a knife, so then, with a metal implement, then there is a din of Egla Rufa, even though it is Tzof, Tomun, and Tolu. He argues with the Tanakhama. But if it's not Cholo, then he says there's no din of Egla Rufa. If it's not killed with a knife, there is no din of Egla Rufa. Now, Tanya, we're going to question Rabbi Elazar from the following Braisa. This Braisa says, Amar Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Elazar, they told Rabbi Elazar, Iyatamoda, don't you agree? Shamir Chanuk, if a person was strangled, Umuto ba'ashba, and he's lying in a garbage area, not on the garbage or under the garbage, just lying in the garbage area, Rashi says, that there is no din of Egla Rufa, Shein Arvin, because he was strangled and he wasn't killed. That's your shita, right? So therefore, what do you see? Alma, cholol, means literally a cholol, a person killed with a knife, some sort of a metal implement, velo chanuk, and not somebody who's strangled. And therefore, just like you're darshing the word cholol to be literal, so too, hochanami. When it says bo'adama, it must mean literal. It has to be on the ground below tamun begal. How can you say that it includes somebody that is tamun begal? And likewise, when it says nofel, how can you say it could even be somebody toli be'ilun? The word nofel means below toli be'ilun. And when it says basada, how can you say it could be somebody even floating on water? Basada means velo tsofa gabi amayim. Just like you're darshing cholol literally, why don't you darshing the other words literally? So that's the kasha that they asked on Rabbi Elazar. How does Rabbi Elazar respond to Elazar? He says, no, cholol yiseriksiv. Go look in the next pasuk. It says the word cholol there as well. V'ayah ir hakrova el hacholol. So we have extra words cholol to teach us that we have to darshan the word cholol literally and only talk about a cholol and not somebody who died through another form of death such as strangling. And it's only chala because of the extra word, but the other words aren't extra, so therefore you can't darshan ba'adama, nofel, and ba'sada the way that you said, even if they are ba'adama, nofel, and basada, not exactly, even if they're covered up, even if they're tali, even if they're floating on water, as long as it's chalal, the din applies of egg la rufa. Okay, that's the machlokas with Elazar and the Chacham. Gemara is now quoting the Mishnah, Nimtza samach l'svar oli'ir sherubav d'chacham v'chulei. If you find the dead body, Nebuch, near the border, which means near Goyim, or l'ir sherubav d'chacham, or a city that has the majority of d'chacham in it, so then there is no din of egg la rufa. Why not? So the Gemara says, because dichsib ki imotze, it has to be something that is a chance, unusual occurrence, prat lemotze, as opposed to something that is very common. And Nebuch, amongst the goyim, there is a tremendous amount of murder. So therefore, there has to not be a din, because it's not imotze, a chance occurrence, it has to be only a chance occurrence, and when there are goyim around, so then it's unfortunately much more likely not to be a chance occurrence, it occurs regularly. That's the simple understanding of this. The Rambam has a different understanding. The Rambam learns that it's talking here about that the person put himself, he had a different girsa, prat limamtzi. So as opposed to a person who puts himself into a situation where there's a higher likelihood that he could be killed. And therefore, that's why in this border cities or in the cities near the Goyim, so there is a high risk of getting into a situation that you'll be killed. So therefore, you're held accountable and there is no din of egla arufa. Then we quote the Mishnah, Oli'ir Shein Bo Beis Din. We said that the din of Egla Rufa doesn't apply to a city that is without a Sanhedrin Katan, a Sanhedrin Katana, that it doesn't have a Sanhedrin of 23, so that city is bypassed and you measure it off to the next closest bigger city. How do we know that? Because the Pasuk says that you need the Zikne'ir to come, the Bo'ina Zikne'ir to come and go and do the process of the Egla Rufa Beleka, and this city doesn't have Zikne'ir, it doesn't have the Sanhedrin Katana, and therefore there is no application of Egla Rufa to that smaller city. Then we quote the Mishnah, Ein Modin Eloir V'chulei. The Mishnah seems to repeat itself and says, we only measure to a city that has a Sanhedrin Kitana, but not to a city that has a that doesn't have a Sanhedrin Kitana. So it says, Pshita, obviously, given the ton of Lir Sheim Bo-Beistin, since we said that we bypass a city that doesn't have this Beistin, the Sanhedrin Kitana, so Anayadina, Ein Modin Eloir Sheim Bo-Beistin. So obviously, you can only go and measure it out to a city that does have it. It seems to be repetitive and unnecessary. So the Gemara says, Hakam Ashkulon, this comes to teach us, Kiditanya, like within the Brisa. Minayim Shim Nimsa Somuch Lir Sheim Bo-Beistin. How do we know that if you find the body Nebuch close to the closest city is a city that doesn't have the best, that doesn't have a Sanhedrin Katana, that we don't count that city, Sheminichin Osa, we leave that city alone, Umodin Lir, Sheesh Basin, and you measure it to the next biggest city that does have a Basin, the Sanhedrin Katana. And that's based upon the Pasuk, Talmud Lomar, Melachu, Zikne Yirahu, which implies Mikol Mokom, that this din of Egla Rufa applies to the closest city with Zikne Yair. But it doesn't apply. You don't say there's no din of Egla Rufa. You just say it doesn't apply to that smaller city. But then you have to go and apply it to the city that does have a Sanhedrin Katana. Then we go to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Nimtza mechuvin bei shtei ayaros, if you find Nebuch, the body, that's directly in between two cities, it's exactly equidistant between the two cities. So the Mishnah tells us, the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, shtei mevios shtei agolos, that both of them have to go bring the process of Egla Rufa. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, behold, it could be mitzamsin. It could be exact that the body is Nebuch found directly between two cities. So each city then would be obligated to go bring an egla rufa. The lush is a little bit unusual here. Shtehem mivios shteyagolos. It's each of them will bring one egla rufa for that city. Not that each one of them brings two. Mishnah continues and says, Ein Yushalayim mivio egla rufa. Yushalayim is not considered in the din of Egla Rufa, the Gemara will say, because it has to be in the Pasuk Lirishta, and Yerushalayim was not given over as Yerusha, it was given to all of Klal Yisrael. No individual shape as Yerushalayim, therefore it's not included in the din of Egla Rufa. Then it tells us, Nimtza Rosho b'makom echa v'gufa b'makom echa rachmon l'acher. What happens, rachmon l'tzlan, if the body was decapitated? So the head is in one place and the body is in the other place. Where do you go and measure the egla rufa? So the first din is that it tells us, Molich l'rosh yisal ha'guf, Diri Rileza. Rileza says that the guf is the critical place and you bring the head to where the guf is. And we'll see the nafkamina, this in the Gemara. That's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. You bring the head to the body. The body is the critical place. Rabbi Kiva disagrees. Rabbi Kiva Omer, no. Haguf is l'rosh. You bring the body to the head. The body is not the critical. The head is the critical, as the Gemara will darshan out and explain furthermore what exactly is this machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. Now, the next part seems to be totally on this part as well. Me'ayin hayumodim. Where did they go and actually measure? From which part of the body did they go measure to see which city is closest? From the head, the foot, from the middle? What did they do? So we have a number of opinions. Rabbi Lezer Omer mitiburo. Rabbi Lezer says you do it from the navel, from the umbilicus, from the middle of the body, the belly button. You do it from there. We'll see why in the Gemara. Rabbi Akiva Omer Michotbo. Rabbi Akiva says you do it from the nose. And Rabbi Lezvin Yaakov Omer Mimokum Shinasa Cholol Meet Savoro. You do it from the place where the body is normally killed. He holds the din of Cholol is only specifically talking about killing with a metal implement like a knife. And where is that done? Normally in the neck. So therefore, that's where you measure from. These three opinions will be discussed more in the Gemara. Let's jump now to the Gemara. My Taima, the Rabbi Lezer. What's the reasoning of Rabbi Lezer saying that the Egla Rufa, if the body is found equidistant between the two towns, that each town will bring its own Egla Rufa? Because Kesava, Efshel Tzamsin, he holds that it is possible to be exactly equidistant. And when the Pasuk says you bring it to from the closer city, Ukrova implies Vafilu Krovos, even if there's more than one, and that's the din of Rabbi Eliezer. Then we quote the Mishnah of Ein Yushlaim Mivia Egla Rufa. The din of Egla Rufa never applies to Yushlaim. Why not? As I pointed out, the Amakor, the Pasuk says, Lirish Ta. Pasuk tells us, Kimotzi Cholobon, the Moashir Hashem Lekecha, Nosin Lecha, Lirish Ta. It should be in an area that you inherited. Now, Yushlaim wasn't inherited by any one of the Shvatim. Ksaba Yushlaim, Lo Nischalkel Shvatim. Even though there are parts of Yushlaim that are Binyamin, parts of Yushlaim that are Yehuda, the city Yushlaim itself is not considered Nechlak to an individual Shefer, but it's given to all of Klai Yisrael, and therefore this Tana holds, therefore, that the din of Egla Rufa doesn't apply to Yushalayim. Then we quote the Mishnah, Nimtza Rosh B'Makom V'chule, we said that if you found the head in one place different from the body, so then we had brought down the Rebbe Lezer says you bring the head to the body, and Rebbe Kiva says you bring the body to the head. What are they arguing about? Michael Miflegi. So, Idle, my people are going to tell me, Linya Medidu Kamifligi, that this is related to where do you go and measure from? You measure from the head or the body. So, that's what we say in the next part of the Mishnah. Homi Dukani Seifa, may I know you molded him? So, that's going to be this discussion where you go do the measurement from. So, obviously, the ratio, Michal, the ratio, lo, bimedidu askin, it's not talking about where you measure it from. So, what's then the nafkamina? Do you bring the head to the body or the body to the head? So, Rabbi Yitzhak tells us, we're dealing here with the Meis Mitzvah. We're dealing with the Meis Mitzvah. And the Meis Mitzvah has a din, kona makomo. Well, wherever the Meis Mitzvah Nebuch happened, so nobody is a relative of this person. There's no family plot to bury him in, so the Meis Mitzvah is Kona Makoma. Wherever he was killed, wherever the body is found, wherever he died, he's Kona that place, and you bury him right there. And they're arguing on this din between the head and the body. That's what Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva argue about. The Meis Mitzvah, Kona Makoma, Kona Mifliki. And this is what the Mishnah is telling us. Rachi Komar, Likovro Kona Makoma. The person, Nebuch, who died, so he's entitled to be buried in that place if he's a Meis Mitzvah. So, the Hecha, the Nimtza Rosho, B'Mokum Echa, V'Gufa, B'Mokum Acher. But when the head and the body are in two different places, which one is the Kovro Kona Makomo? So, Molicho, in that situation, Molicho Narosh, Esel HaGuf. Rabbi Lezer holds, that the body is a critical place where the base died, and the head rolled away afterwards, as we'll see. And Rabbi Kiva, Omer, no, Haguf Eitz LaRosh, the head is the critical place, and the body moved afterwards, and therefore you're buried by the head. So they're arguing over here, the Machlokes of Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Kiva, is where was the mace Kona Makomo, by the head or by the body? What's the rationale behind this? Michael Miflegi. So, Mar Sovar Rabbi Lezer holds, Gufei Beduchte Nofel, when the person was killed or he died, so in this situation, he body has fell down, and his head, which was decapitated, rolled away. So the body is where it was, and that's where the mace is Kona Makomo. And therefore, Reisha did not the Nafil, the head rolled away, and that's not the critical location, and therefore Rabbi Lezer says you bury the head, you bring it to the body. Now, Rabbi Kiva disagrees. Umar Savar, no, they died right there on the spot. Reisha, Hechel de Nafil, the head where it fell was decapitated, that's where the body died. But the body was still moving. Sometimes the body doesn't realize that it's dead yet. It keeps on moving. It's like the chickens running around without a head. Psikreisha. Nevertheless, they run around. So Gufahu deroi also. The body kept on moving. And therefore, the body didn't end up where the actual death place was. And that's what Rabbi Kiva says. You bring the body back to the head. The head is the critical factor. Okay. Then we quote the Mishnah, may I know you in where in the body we have the three opinions that you go and measure from. So the Gemara says, Mikamifli, what are these three opinions arguing about? So Ma Rabbi Akiva holds Savar Ikor Chiyusa Ba Pe. The Rabbi Akiva's opinion was we measure from the nose. He says that's because the nose is where you breathe from, and therefore that's the essence of the person, and therefore you measure from the person's nose. And the other opinion, Rabbi Eliezer says, Umar Savar Ikoch Yusa Bitibure. He says the critical feature is from the middle part of the body. That's where all the critical organs are. That's where digestion occurs. That's where your stomach and the intestines are. And therefore, that's where the essence of the person is there. And that's why you measure from Tiburo, from the umbilicus, from the belly button. Gemara wants to suggest, Le Mokihani Tanoi. Let us say that this machlokis is in accord with the following machlokis. Mehechon of La Notza. Let us say that this is connected to the machlokis where we have. Where is the fetus, so to say, created from? So do we say Meirosho? So the first opinion says it's from the head, and the head's created first, and then the rest of the feet grows out from the head. And this is based upon a pasuk that we have in Tehillim. Imi atagozi, you remove me from my mother's stomach, and the term gozi implies from the head. Vomer gozi nizrech v'yashlichi v'gomer. This is a pasuk from Yirmiyah, which says that your hair will be thrown away. So we see that the gozi is the critical part. The head is where a fetus is created from, and the rest of the body, so to say, grows after the head is created. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama. Avishal disagrees. Omer mitiburo. He says the belly button is where, so to say, the baby is starting to be created, and then you grow out to the head and out towards the feet. Umeshalech sharasho elech v'elech, and you grow further from the belly button. So this machlokus we want to suggest is the machlokus of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer. So Gemara says, Lav Dafka. Afilu tem Abishal. Abishal, who says it's from the belly button, Lav Dafka holds like Rabbi Eliezer. He can even hold like Rabbi Akiva. Why is that? Because Adkan, in regards to how is the fetus formed, Adkan lo kamar Abishal el inyan tzira. In regards to the fetus being formed, he says it starts off, so to say, in the middle, and you grow towards the head, and you grow towards the feet. Dechi mitzar vlad, mi mitziyase mitzar. When the vlad is created, it's created from the middle. However, in regards to where is the essence of life, Lav Dafka, that it's the middle, like Rabbi Eliezer says. There you can hold like Rabbi Akiva. Avalinin chiyusa, the kuliyama ba'peyu. He says, in regards to life, so to say, even Rabbi Abishal agrees with Rabbi Akiva, because of the pasuk, the same, kol asher nishmas ruach chayim bi'apal v'gomer. So everything comes from the ruach chayim, which comes through the neshama, is put in through the nose. So therefore, that is the critical factor. So maybe Abishal agrees with Rabbi Akiva, Lav Dafka, that he holds like Rabbi Eliezer. Finally, we quote the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, the third opinion, from the neck. You measure from the neck. What's his rationale? My time, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, because the Chsiv, lo seis osach el tzavrei chalalei rishoyim. So we see that the chalol is referring to the neck, tzavrei chalalei rishoyim, and therefore he says you measure from the neck. Let's go to the next mission. The next mission tells us, if they do the measurement, so either the three, the five, or the entire Sanhedrin, according to the three different opinions that we had, they can leave. Once the Medida is done, now we leave it to the local people, the local Sanhedrin, the Sanhedrin of 23, to continue with the rest of the Egla Rufa process. Zikni Osa Yir, the Zikanim from the Sanhedrin Ketana, they continue, Nevin Eglas Boker, they bring the calf, and they have to take a calf that has never been worked with. Zikni Osir, maybe an egglas bakar shel lamoshko be'ol, that hadn't ever had work done to it. However, vein hamum posable, but unlike a carbon, if it has a certain type of mum, it won't possible it for being the egla arufa, as opposed to a carbon, if it has a certain type of mum, so then it can't be brought as a carbon. So the things that would possible for a carbon don't necessarily possible for an egla arufa. Then they bring it down to Nachalesa. The machlok is between Rashi and the Rambam as to what Nachalesa is. Rashi says that it means hard ground in a valley. And the Rambam says that Nachal means a water area, so it means the bank, the hard ground next to the bank of a river or a wadi or some body of water. So Umaridin Sol Nachal Eson, and Eson Kimashmo means hard ground kosher. But Afa Pishenel Eson kosher. If it wasn't hard ground, it be the Ebit would be acceptable as well. Then they next, they go and chop off the head of this egel from behind, from the back, as opposed to shrita, which is from the front. They take this kopitz. Rashi says a kopitz is a big knife. Kimin sakin gadol, Rashi says. They take a big knife. We find this is a meat cleaver. It's found at many other places, this kopitz. And they chop off the head of this egla. Umakoma also milizro umilavo, and that place, machlokus is exactly what the size of that place is, but that place where this process occurs is now forever bidden to be planted and to be worked on. However, work that doesn't involve the land itself, you're allowed to do umuto lisrok shampishlin. You can go and comb flax over there, or do any other type of work that doesn't involve the land, but you can use the area ulanaka shomavadim. You can go and chisel stones over there. That's also allowed, as Rashi points out. You're allowed to do anything over there that is she'ena begufa shel karka, as the Gemara will explain. Then the zikni also here, rochatzin and sidem b'mayim. Then they go wash the hands, literally to say that we had nothing to do with this. We're washing our hands clean from this person's death. And they do this b'makom arifa shel egla. They do this in the place where the egla was decapitated. And they say, we weren't the ones that killed this guy. And we weren't the ones that saw this person and left him unattended. And that's why he ended up dying. As Rashi points out, and we'll see in the moment of the Mishnah, we're dealing over here with a concern that maybe this person was Nebuch, such a poor person, that he didn't have any money, he didn't have any food, and nobody took care of him, nobody would help him out, and therefore he had to resort to robbery, and in his robbery to try to get food, he was ending up being killed. So therefore, we have to say this, so the Gemara Mishnah says, did they even enter our mind? Also, do we for a second think, also, do we think for a second that the Sanhedrin Tana over here, they were the ones that actually killed this person? Of course not. So, Ella, and some are encouraged the words below Muslim, but it doesn't change things around. That do we think for a second that they killed him? No, that they can testify here that nobody knew about this poor person, and we didn't let him go without giving him food, and below renew, and we didn't see him, and we just let him leave below the void without escorting him out to make sure that he was safe and okay. Again, somewhere it goes towards below the void. Now we turn to Membava Medala to finish off the Mishnah. The Kohanim Omrim, and the Kohanim then say, Kaper li Amcha Yisrael Asher Podiso Hashem, Al Titein Dom Noki Bekerev Amcha Yisrael. This has to be said by Lashon Kodesh as well. That's why, again, Egla Rufa is brought down over here. The words that they have to say have to be said by Lashon Kodesh. But they didn't have to say the end of the pasuk. We need kaper lehem adam, because that was as if it was said by HaKodesh Baruch Hu. Ela ruach HaKodesh bevasro asan. The words of HaKodesh Baruch Hu are telling us that they will get a kapar over here. A masa shetasu kocha adam miskaper lehem. If you do the Egla Rufa process, it will atone for any inequity that you had done in Nebuch, this person's death. That was a long shiur. We'll stop over here and pick up the Gemara tomorrow. Have a great day.